And now, exclusive to Patreon, it's Glitterballs, a situation comedy written for television but performed for podcast by Mike Bennett.
Hello, Glitterballs fans, and welcome to the end. Yes, this is the last half of the last episode. I'm sorry it's taken so long, but as you know, I also have to cater for the demand for Dracula episodes, and that demand is a tad higher than the demand for this podcast, so, well, you know how it is when you manage a sweet shop. If everybody wants licorice pipes, then you don't stock your shelves with cough candy, do you? But saying that, you don't stop selling cough candy altogether just because the majority of your customers want licorice pipes, do you? Because then you'd upset the cough candy fans. But, you know, there it is. Sweet shop comparisons aside, here we are at the final episode of Glitterballs, The Last Tango in Dinglebury, Part 2. Now, I'm sure, unless you have an incredible memory, you've forgotten pretty much everything that happened in Part 1. So here is a brief summary. At the start of the episode, Tom and Dave went out fly posting and got into a confrontation with a local thug called Big Tony, who claims certain parts of the town, namely all of it, as his fly posting territory. And so Tom and Dave ended up fly posted to a wall themselves. Ha ha ha! What a great visual joke that would have been. Whether it works as a podcast, I don't know. But anyway, moving on. Then we had Max cancelling a gig that Tom had arranged to put on instead a big ballroom dancing event. Ballroom dancing is, of course, Max and Doreen's big thing, and the reason that he owns Glitterballs in the first place. Max sees this as his chance to put Glitterballs on the map as the premier ballroom dancing venue in the region, and he is desperate to impress the promoter of the event, a chap called Harry Vaughan. And basically, he doesn't give a damn how Tom feels about all that, because he doesn't really want Tom or his gigs there at all. And indeed, after Max informs Tom of the cancellation, the two have an argument, which ends with Max basically telling Tom that he can't book any more gigs there ever again. So, goodbye, Tom. Now, Tom is, of course, very upset about this. The gig that Max cancelled on him was supposed to be by a band called Earth Vibe, a new age traveller band with a media-stoked reputation for being drug-crazed hippies, thus making them all the more revolting a prospect to Max. Tom and his friends in the pub discuss how they might turn things around to win back the venue, and Tom hits on the idea of planting drugs on Mr. Vaughan, and so framing him in Max's eyes is exactly the kind of person that Max despises, and so poisoning their business relationship before it can even begin. A cunning plan indeed. And so the night of the ballroom dance event arrives, and the inside of the venue is filling up with the kind of patrons that Max and Doreen have always wanted. However, outside is a large number of Earth Vibe fans, all hippie types who have travelled to see the band because they didn't see any notification of the cancellation. And among the milling crowd outside are Tom and none other than his earlier nemesis, Big Tony, who sells Tom the dope he wants to plant on Vaughan, a small cellophane-wrapped lump of cannabis resin. Big Tony sticks around because he wants to continue selling his wares to some of the punters outside. So, when we left the action in Part 1, Max and Doreen had been charming Mr. Vaughan inside the venue. The hippies were gathered outside it. And then, from the crowd, a couple of hippie guys came up to the door and demanded admittance. George, the doorman, told them that the gig was cancelled, but the first of these guys announced that he was with the CID, which, if you're from outside the UK, is a detective division of the police. And that is where we are now, as we too now try to push our way into Glitterballs for the last tango in Dinglebury, Part 2. Oh, and not forgetting that there was some caution expressed on Max and Doreen's part about their dancing in this contest, because Max has a rather bad bunion on his foot. And that's it.
Hippie Cop 1, covertly, CID, let us in. Then loudly to the punters outside,
right, man, ha ha.
George, all right, but what's going on? I'm security chief and nobody told me anything about this.
As the CID enter, we see through the glass doors that their admittance has been noticed by the other hippies, who then hurry over and begin bundling in behind them. Their arrival jostles the CID inside and makes it impossible for Hippie Cop 1 to respond to George. Hippie Cop 1.
Ugh!
The CID are jostled into the ballroom and a couple of hippies slip in with them before George intervenes. George, to a hippie.
Hold it, sunshine. Where's your badge?
The hippie looks bewildered a moment, then shows George a colourful reflective brooch pinned to his jacket. Hippie.
Yeah, cosmic, innit? It changes colour with me aura.
George.
Well, unless you want it turning a lovely shade of black and blue, I suggest you op it.
He flings Hippie out. Hippie to his friends.
Oi, assault! You saw that? He manhandled me! Call the pigs!
Scene 9, ballroom, interior, night. The ballroom is sparkling with brilliant teeth and glittering costumes. The air is filled with the tinkling of ice in martinis and the languid hum of lively conversation beneath a soundtrack of the Joe Loss Orchestra playing a polka. Max and Doreen are talking to a couple when Max sees the CID and four hippies among the crowd. His eyes widen. Max,
what the devil?
At the couple.
Do excuse me a moment.
He apprehends one of the hippies. Max.
How did you get in here?
Hippie.
Suit on the door, let us in. Chilled out a bit now, yes?
He gestures to an unlit roll-up in his mouth.
Maybe he had a little medication, eh?
Max snatches the cigarette out of Hippie's mouth and looks crossly to the doors. Max.
Wait here, don't touch anything.
Max strides to the foyer and exits. Scene 10, foyer, interior, night. Max enters. George and Virgil stop their conversation. Max.
What do you mean by letting that fly-blown rabble in here, George? I thought I'd made myself quite clear earlier when I...
George, interrupting.
The CID, Mr. Price. Coppers. We reckon they're after this hippie band.
Max.
Oh, that's what they told you, is it? These policemen?
George.
Yeah, well, sort of. There was a bit of a scuffle, see, and, well, I'm not sure if they were all police, because some of them rushed in and...
Max.
You're not sure if they were all police? Tell me, George, have you ever seen the Bell?
George.
Yeah.
Max.
Well, those people in blue uniforms, rigid blue tits on their heads, cars with orange stripes and flashing blue lights, they are the police. And those dignified, strolling feet at the end of the show, well, all the foul, humming cack that they step in the course of an unfortunate day on the beat, that's what you just let in.
Virgil.
No, no, he's right, Mr. Price. They flashed us their ID. They're coppers, all right. Undercover, probably on Earth Vibe's mailing list.
Max.
Oh, yes, and they probably put their address down as New Scotland Yard, hmm? Did you actually get a good look at this ID, Virgil?
Virgil.
Well, it all happened so fast, Mr. Price.
Max.
No, I think is the word you're looking for, Virgil. They could have given you a quick glimpse of a Scotch egg with a smiley face painted on it, and you'd have given them the benefit of the doubt, wouldn't you? Now, I want you to stay here and make sure not a single hippie, policeman or otherwise, comes through those doors. Do you understand me?
George and Virgil.
Yes, Mr. Price.
Max.
I shall attend to the removal of Bodie and Doyle and their crusty sidekicks myself.
Max exits. Scene 11, Glitterballs, back alley gate, street side, exterior, night.
The back alley connects to a side street and is used for refuse clearance and as an emergency fire escape. It's just a wooden gate in the wall about 6 feet high. Tom and Dave try to open it, but it's locked. Tom, rattling the gate. It's locked. Well, that's funny. Max always leaves it open when there's a gig on. Fire regulations. Dave. Maybe he forgot. What with all the excitement of shaking the mothballs out of his tux and all that. Let's just go over the wall. They see the wall is topped along its length by cemented broken beer bottles. They look defeated. Dave. Ah, well, I guess we'll have to go around the front door then. Tom. Oh, they'll never let us in tonight, Dave. Dave.
Yeah, they will. We'll just say we need to go to the office on urgent business.
Tom.
Yeah, but what about the dope?
Pats his pocket.
What if they search us?
Dave.
Stick it under your tongue. They'll never look there.
Tom. Good idea. He takes a small lump of cellophane-wrapped substance from his pocket and pops it into his mouth.
All right.
Dave.
Perfect.
They begin to walk.
Here, let's hope that stuff's not too strong, eh? Tonight's going to be tricky enough without having you floating round the ceiling.
Tom, with tongue pinned. Scene 12. Foyer. Interior. Night. Tom and Dave step into view through the windows of the door. George opens the door and admits them. George.
All right, boys. Didn't expect to see you here tonight.
Dave.
Nah, not really as seen, George. But we've had to drop by to attend to some urgent business. All right, if we just pop up to the office.
George.
I don't see a problem with that. Have to search, you know. Mr. Price's orders. All right.
Dave.
Sure.
He raises his arms. George.
Tom?
Tom. Raises his arms. George and Virgil look concerned. Virgil.
You all right, Tom?
Tom.
Toothache.
George.
Hey?
Dave.
Toothache. He's been to the dentist and had a tooth out. It's the Novocaine.
George and Virgil frisk Tom and Dave. George.
Oh, right. We don't want to drink then, Tom. You'll wind up dribbling it all down your shirt front.
Dave.
Ha, yeah, much like any other night, eh?
All chuckle. George.
Okay, lads, you're clean. Hope you understand we're just doing our jobs.
Dave.
Ah, of course. Can't be too careful with all these alternative lifestyle types running round, can ya?
Virgil.
Alternative lifestyles, right? We had some bloke come in earlier with an haircut that looked like it had a family of small animals living in it. God knows what his mother must think of him.
Dave.
Maybe she's an hippie as well.
Virgil.
Who's talking about hippies? This bloke was one of old Max's lot.
Dave.
Oh, right. Say no more, Virg. Say no more.
Tom and Dave exit to ballroom. Scene 14. Ballroom. Interior. Night. There is a buzz of anticipation as dancers move onto the floor and spectators move to the edges. Max is moving stealthily through the crowd towards some hippies. Just as he nears them, Doreen catches him by the arm. Doreen.
There you are.
She steers him towards the floor.
Come on, the music's about to start.
Max.
But I...
Doreen.
But nothing, darling. Forget everything other than where you're putting your feet. Chin up and think poise. Elegance.
Max does these things as she tells him. As they step onto the dance floor, they are a sparkling paragon of ballroom dance partnership. Behind them, through the crowd, we see Vaughn take the stage and step up to the microphone. Vaughn.
Testing. He taps the mic. 1, 2, 1, 2. Ha ha! Ladies and gentlemen, friends, I'm delighted to welcome you all here tonight for the Cheering and District Ballroom Dance Championships. Before the dancing begins, I'd like you all to join me in a big cheering and district show of appreciation for our hosts tonight, Max and Doreen Price, without whom, as I think we're all aware, tonight would not have been possible.
He extends his arm to Max and Doreen.
Max and Doreen!
Max and Doreen bask in the applause of the entire room. Cut to Tom and Dave at the outer rim of the crowd. Tom.
It's going to be impossible to get across this floor to the dressing rooms without Max seeing us. We're going to have to go round the back alley.
Dave nods his agreement and they move through the crowd to the doors marked private. Scene 14. Back gate, side street, exterior, night. Big Tony sidles casually up to the gate and after looking about, tries the handle. It is still locked. He waits. Scene 15. Ballroom, interior, night. Vaughan is concluding his speech. Vaughan.
And so, without any further ado, let the dancing commence. We begin with the cha-cha.
Vaughan exits the stage as the music begins. Couples begin to cha-cha. Max takes Doreen in his arms. Max.
Oh, Doreen, I...
Doreen presses a finger to his lips.
I know, my love.
They come together dramatically.
I feel it too.
They begin to dance. Scene 16, kitchen, interior, night. Tom and Dave enter from downstairs central corridor and cross to the back door. Tom.
Okay, so one more time, the plan is. We go down the alley, check through the dressing room window to make sure it's empty. If it is, or as soon as it is, we go in through the back door and then into the dressing room. Once inside, we find something belonging to Vaughan, like a bag or a jacket or whatever, and stash the dope in it. Then we come out and tell Max we've seen him having a puff out back. Max doesn't believe us, so we all search the dressing room, find the gear, Max goes bonkers and chucks Vaughan out. And then it's business as usual.
Dave.
Yeah, got it. But I'm still concerned, you know. It's a bit extreme, Tom. I mean, what if Max calls the law?
Tom.
He won't. Think of the scandal factor. Think of what would happen if the local papers got hold of it. The council. Trust me, no one's going to get hurt, no one's going to get arrested, and no one is going to come between us and our music venue anymore. All right?
Dave, thumbs up.
All right, Tom, let's do it.
They exit via back door. Scene 17. Dressing room, interior, night. We fade up on Vaughan, sitting on a chair in the dressing room, smoking a cigarette with his back to the window. He looks at his watch, then...
Behind him, through the window...
We see Tom and Dave's heads rise cautiously into view. They react when they see Vaughan, but relax when they realise he cannot see them. Suddenly, Vaughan rises, looks at his watch, and exits the dressing room. Scene 18. Back alley. Exterior. Night. Tom and Dave duck down from the window and whisper urgently to one another. Dave.
Where's he going?
Tom.
I don't know. Maybe he's...
FX, the sound of a crash bar going down and the creak of the back door to the dressing room area. Tom.
Shit, he's coming outside. Quick!
He indicates dustbins.
Behind these!
With the camera on Tom and Dave as they hide behind the bins and listen, we can see over the tops of the bins, Vaughan enter the alley and go to the back gate. He whispers loudly. Vaughan.
Tony?
Big Tony, out of view.
Yeah.
Tom and Dave react. Vaughan slides the bolt on the gate and Big Tony enters the alley, closing the gate behind him. Vaughan.
All right, any problems?
Big Tony.
Nah, as it happens, I was coming down here anyway. Some wanker who works here's after some puff. Little bastard's been messing around on my poster manor, hasn't he? So I sold him a prize lump of dried cat shit.
Big Tony and Vaughan laugh. Tom reacts with horror to what he has had in his mouth. Big Tony.
I'd like to be there when he sparks that up.
Vaughan.
Come on inside.
Vaughan and Big Tony exit shot. FX, sound of back door closing. Tom begins spitting and gagging. He pulls the lump of dope, inverted commas, from his pocket and throws it away disgustedly. Tom, whispering,
Cat shit! That dirty bastard! That dirty, fat, cheating bastard! I knew I wasn't sucking on something quite right. I've heard a skunk, but for Jesus!
Dave is already up and peering through the window. Dave.
Shh! Forget that, will ya? Look at this!
Tom joins Dave and looks in through the window. Scene 19. Dressing room. Interior. Night. Vaughan and Big Tony are standing at the table with their backs to the window, through which we can see Tom and Dave. Vaughan picks up an attaché case and opens it on the table. Inside are various bulging bags of white powder. Tom and Dave react.
Vaughan. Something for the weekend, sir?
Vaughan and Big Tony laugh. Scene 20. Back alley. Exterior. Night. Tom and Dave duck. Tom.
Shit! There's more snow in that case than there is on Emma Forbes's head and shoulders.
Of course, now that joke falls completely flat because it refers to a series of 1990s dandruff shampoo commercials. An actress called Emma Forbes used to advertise this dandruff shampoo called Head and Shoulders. So, yeah, so much for that joke. Anyway, Dave.
He's a dealer. A real one. A genuine small-town gangster. Well, it looks like we don't have to worry about planting anything on him after all.
Tom.
Well, no, it would seem to be superfluous to requirements, wouldn't it?
Dave.
So what do we do?
Tom.
We stick to plan A, don't we? We go and tell Max.
Dave.
Right.
They run out of shot. Scene 21. Ballroom. Interior. Night. On the dance floor, Max and Doreen are dancing happily amongst the other contestants. Mr. Crimble, an elderly man in full ballroom attire, is directed by a table of judges to tap a couple out on the floor. Mr. Crimble taps the shoulder of the male partner. The couple look disappointed, but leave the floor with Mr. Crimble. Cut to the private access doors. Tom and Dave enter. They look frantically about before spotting Max and Doreen out on the floor. Tom.
Bugger! How can we get to him out there? If we just run over and start tugging at his sleeve, he'll probably belt us one.
Dave.
Well, what else can we do? Stick a message in a bottle and chuck it at him?
Tom. On any other night, that might be a tempting option, Dave, but sadly not tonight. The couple rejected by Mr. Crimble now come and stand in front of Tom and Dave. Tom looks at them, and an idea dawns in his expression. He whispers in Dave's ear. Dave looks at the couple, then back to the private doors. He looks less than keen, but Tom is insistent. Dave goes and exits via the private doors. Tom smiles. Scene 22. Kitchen. Interior. Night. Dave enters the kitchen and removes a frying pan from a clutter of pots and pans. He tests its heft as a weapon, then exits. Scene 23. Ballroom. Interior. Night. Tom approaches the couple and addresses them. We cannot hear what is being said, but the couple look initially concerned, then grateful. They follow Tom as he leads them to exit via private doors. The camera stays on the doors as they close. The background music ends with the final two beats being complemented by the double striking of a frying pan on heads. FX, frying pan, impacting twice. Scene 24, ballroom, dance floor, interior, night. As the dance comes to an end, the audience and the remaining contestants applaud. Max and Doreen beam, clearly having a marvellous time. Mr. Crimble takes the microphone. Mr. Crimble.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, take your partners for the tango.
Max and Doreen exchange a passionate look. The music begins. At this point, we cut to private doors where Tom and Dave make a dramatic entrance with the music. Tom is wearing the woman's clothes and looking unsure, while a smiling Dave looks dashing in the man's tux. Tom,
maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Dave,
it was a good idea until you lost the toss, wasn't it? What on earth could have changed your mind?
Tom,
well, let's begin with the stilettos and work our way up, shall we?
He adjusts his underpants.
Dave.
Oh, sexy lady. The way you pull your pants out of your crack really sets my soul on fire.
Tom.
Yeah, all right. Come on then, let's get on with it.
Dave leads Tom through the crowd and onto the floor where they begin to dance, badly, over to Max and Doreen. Note, Tom and Dave's dancing difficulties should be amusing, a result of high heels, inability and urgency to get Max's undivided attention. Tom and Dave sweep up to Max and Doreen. Tom, through a frozen smile.
Max!
Max and Doreen see them and react, though not breaking their stride too much. Both couples are intent on seeming like they don't know one another.
Max. Oh, dear God!
The dialogue between the two couples takes place as they dance past each other, all big smiles and, on Tom and Dave's part, bad dancing.
Tom. Max, there's something I've got to tell you.
Max, looking at dress.
Evidently, but did you have to be so dramatic about it?
Tom.
You don't understand. Something terrible is happening under your roof.
Max.
I can see that. And if you don't get off the floor immediately, something terrible will soon be happening to you.
Tom.
I'm serious, Max. It's that Vaughan bloke. He's a cocaine dealer.
Max.
You little bastard. You really are plumbing the depths this time. How could you be so?
Dave.
It's true, Max. He's got enough Bolivian marching powder to march a lot of Bolivians a very long way.
Tom.
Yeah, like around the world and back.
Mr. Kremble taps Dave gently on the shoulder. Max.
Get off the floor.
Tom.
No, not unless you come with me.
Mr. Kremble taps Dave again.
Would you leave the floor, please, sir?
Tom to Mr. Kremble.
I'm afraid we can't.
Max.
Get off!
Tom.
Not without you.
Mr. Kremble, tapping insistently.
Please, sir.
Max.
Go!
Dave.
I'm quite enjoying myself, actually.
Tom.
Yes, so am I. Perhaps we should take this up as a hobby, Dave.
Max breaks with Doreen and assumes an aggressive posture towards Tom.
Right, you've asked for this and now you're going to get it.
Dave.
Are you cutting in?
Tom turns and runs in the direction of the backstage entrance to the dressing rooms, with Max raging in pursuit. Dancers and onlookers scatter before them. Dave takes a bewildered-looking Doreen into his arms and readies her for dancing. Dave.
May I have the pleasure?
Scene 25. Backstage corridor, interior, night. Tom runs into the corridor with Max raging after him. They crash into the dressing room and out of shot. Scene 26. Dressing room, interior, night. Tom crashes through the door with Max's hands around his throat. Beyond them, at the table, Vaughan and Big Tony look up. Big Tony is in the process of snorting a big line of cocaine from a mirror. He has a banknote sticking out of his nose, while Vaughan is tending a small set of scales. Max.
What the devil's going on here?
He lets go of Tom's throat. Tom falls to the floor with a cry of discomfort. Vaughan.
Max, if you know what's good for you, you'll just turn around and forget all about this. I believe you'll find the tango is calling.
Big Tony to Tom.
Don't you have some smoking to do?
Tom.
Oh, that's a laugh, you fat bastard. I've heard it called shit before, but you really do take it literally, don't you?
Big Tony.
Why, you little...
Max.
You fiendish!
The above lines are spoken simultaneously as Max and Tom square up to Big Tony and Vaughan. Suddenly, the four hippie cops burst in behind them.
Guns drawn.
Hippie cop one.
All right, police. Nobody move, you're all under arrest. You two,
indicates Max and Tom.
Over there, by the wall. Hands up, all of you. Right, so this is the backstage party, is it? Now, where's Earth Vibe?
Max.
What?
Hippie cop one.
Don't come the innocent with me, sunshine. Earth Vibe. We know they're here. We're on the mailing list.
Max.
I don't believe it.
Tom.
Cancelled, I'm afraid. Management decision.
Hippie cop one.
Oh, what? No way.
Tom.
Yes way. And also we could play host to the Cheering and District Cocaine Committee's annual nose up.
Hippie cop one.
Well, that all sounds fascinating. You can tell us all about it down the station.
Max.
The station? What, you can't arrest me? I'm the manager.
Hippie cop one.
We'll sort out who's who later on. Right now you're all nicked for drug trafficking, and I must inform you that anything you say will be taken down and used against you in a court of law.
Tom.
I don't suppose there's any chance of me getting changed, is there? I feel sort of inappropriately dressed for the local nick.
Hippie cop one.
Oh, I dunno. I think a good-looking bird like you will go down pretty well in this cells, mate.
Hippie cop two.
Yeah, nice legs too.
Close up on Tom's look of dawning horror as the music from the ballroom comes to a dramatic end. Fade. Scene 27, ballroom, bar, interior, night. It is the next evening. The venue is bustling with the usual youthful clientele. Tom is at the bar, talking to Dave, Reg and Pete. Sally is listening from the other side of the bar, while Gary can be seen serving punters. Tom.
So once they figured out who the real villains were, we were all right. I was home by about midnight. The hero of the hour.
Pete.
What about Max?
Tom.
Oh, he's all right. In fact, we've come to a new understanding. It's funny the things that can pass between two men when they're alone together in a police cell for a few hours.
Dave.
Yeah, especially when one of those men is Max and the other one's wearing a dress.
Tom. As I was saying, we've come to a new understanding. Everything is back to normal. I've got bands on Tuesdays through to Saturdays, and Max gets to entertain his newly inherited ballroom crowd on Sundays and Mondays.
Sally. But where is Max? I haven't seen him all night.
Tom.
No. Well, poor old Max had to stay a bit longer since he assaulted two policemen when we got to the station.
Dave.
Max did? What happened?
Tom.
Well, in the Black Mariah on the way down, Vaughan kept telling Max how they'd strip search us when we got to the station. He filled his head with stories of rubber gloves and uncompromising positions.
Dave.
So what did Max do?
Tom.
Well, when the coppers opened the doors to let us out, Max rushed at them. The two doors flew out, struck the coppers, giving one a shiner and the other one a mild concussion.
Pete.
A desperate attempt to escape.
Tom.
That's what they reckon. But to me, it looked like over-enthusiasm.
Sally.
Hello, talk of the devil.
They look in the direction Sally indicates. Max and Doreen approach the bar, arm in arm, and join them. Max is dressed as last night.
Max. Evening, everybody.
All ad-lib hellos.
Max to Tom and Dave.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you fellows properly for what you did. It was brave of you, and... well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tom and Dave ad-lib polite responses, a little embarrassed.
Max. Business as usual tonight, I see.
Tom.
Yeah, it's, beep, tonight.
Real guest band inserted here.
Max.
Excellent. Well, we'll leave you to it.
To Doreen.
Shall we, dear?
Doreen.
Yes, I'm sure that'll be for the best.
Max and Doreen exit.
Dave.
Blimey, either somebody slipped something illegal and expensive into my drink and I'm hallucinating, or Max was just civil to us.
Pete.
Yeah, maybe this is a dawning of a new era.
Tom.
Somehow I doubt that.
Reggie.
Yeah, talking of illegal and expensive substances, if anybody fancies popping out for a smoke later, I bought some wicked stuff off Big Tony before he got nicked last night.
Very exotic smelling it is.
Tom and Dave look at one another. Behind, we see Beep walk on stage. Tom and Dave,
not tonight, thanks, Reg.
The band begin to play. We cut to them and intercut with usual sights of venue activity. The last note of the song ends as we cut to scene 28. Scene 28, Max and Doreen's front room, interior, night. Close up on a stylus, automatically lowering onto a revolving record. As the first notes of Engelbert Humperdinck's Les Bicyclettes del Bel Sais begin to play, we cut to Max and Doreen in the lowered light of their front room. They are dancing slowly, looking into one another's eyes with great love and affection. Scene 29. Tom's office, interior, night. Tom and Dave are counting money. We can hear Engelbert mutedly coming in through the open door. Tom and Dave smile knowingly. Tom slips a wad of notes into an envelope and gets up.
Tom, I think I'd better nip over and give Max his money now. I get the feeling he won't want to be disturbed before too long.
Scene 30, upstairs corridor, interior, night. Tom enters the corridor from his office and walks towards the camera, which is just past Max and Doreen's door. The music filters in from the door as Tom raises his hand to knock. Then pauses, smiles, and slips the envelope beneath the door. He walks out of shot past the camera. Scene 31. Max and Doreen's front room, interior, night. Max and Doreen dance slowly in the dim light. The end credits roll over this scene. The usual theme replaced by Engelbert. As the credits end, Max suddenly gives a violent howl of pain. He stumbles and bumps into the record player. FX, stylus scratching record. The music cuts out. Doreen.
What is it, Max?
Max.
My bunion! Christ, you stepped on my bunion!
Doreen.
Oh, Max, I'm sorry, I didn't see your feet.
Max.
That's because you've dimmed all the bloody lights, you idiot!
Doreen.
What? Which one of your feet's got the bunion again?
Max. The left! The left! Doreen stamps on Max's left foot. He screams.
The music you're listening to is called The Show Must Be Go by Kevin MacLeod. For more information, visit incomptech.com.
And so there it was, ladies and gentlemen, the end of Glitterballs Season 1. And unfortunately, the only season I ever wrote, because as we all know, the show was never made and never will be, because we are now A, no longer in the 90s, B, TV comedy has evolved quite a bit since this era, and C, even if it hadn't, it would still be a ridiculously expensive show to make. Of course, when I was writing it, I didn't think about things like costs, set construction and all that sort of thing. I just thought we could find a suitable real venue, like a large pub function room, and shoot it there. That way you'd only need a couple of office sets, you know, Max and Doreen's office and Tom and Dave's little cubbyhole office, Max and Doreen's living room. But then, of course, you know, there's also the area outside, the foyer, the dressing room, the alley around the back, the place in town where the fly posting incident took place. And then in other episodes, you're going to need, you know, the hotel sets for episode 5, the kitchen sets for episode 2, and so on and so on and so on. So, you know, as Channel 4 said to me at the time, this would be very, very, very expensive to make. And even more so, I would imagine, now. But never mind. It was fun for me to write and to revisit in this podcast after, what, 20-odd years. And I hope that it's also been fun for you to listen to. Thank you for listening to it, my friends, and thank you, as always, for your support and patronage. But for me for now, it's time to go. I'm going to pop back into Glitterballs for a last pint and to catch the encore from Sheep on Drugs or The Wedding Present or Blur or whoever, you know, someone like that. The kind of bands who would have been on the show if I'd had my way. I'd love to play out here on the podcast now to a live version of a song from one of those bands, but of course, you know, copyright reasons and all that, I'm afraid I cannot. So I'll just have to go. Oh well. Thanks for listening. Pip pip. And cheerio.
MikeBennettAuthor.com